stumble standing on the spray-swept deck of a ship under a cloud of sail as she makes her landfall among the far-flung coral isles of the South Seas. Land ho! Fantastic volcanic peaks of an island looming up through the ocean mist. Flying fish on our bow. Screaming gulls overhead. Tahiti. Green as an emerald set in an indigo sea. The booming surf breaking into foam on the coral reef, port and starboard, as we nose through the narrow inlet to the calm lagoon. Safe at anchor among the trading schooners riding at their buoys. The village of Papeete nestling in the groves of coconut palms, bananas and mangoes. The odor of piles of copra on the wharf. Ashore, we move along the esplanade that borders the lagoon. Deep throngs of promenaders passing us. Graceful Polynesians, chattering French, impassive Chinese, Americans, and Britishers in tropical white. Tahitian girls with hibiscus flowers in their hair, fires of passion in their eyes. Selective music sounds from the upper balcony of the Bougainville Club. We climb the rickety stairs knowing that here is a mecca for all mariners, good and bad, who foregather from the distant ports of the seven seas. Here is the haunt of romance, adventure, old dangers retold and new deviltries being hatched. Tahiti, Papeete, the Bougainville Club.
And yourself with your smart duck uniform and shiny brass buttons. Nothing less than a skipper.
Yes, well, no, not exactly. You see, I'm the owner of the schooner, Stormy Pickle. Have you seen my boat?
Mighty pretty little cockle shell for pleasure cruising.
You're wrong there, Mr. Orion. I'm going to sail the Stormy Pickle right through the little known islands, Polynesia and the Solomons. Frankly, I'm out for adventure.
You steer clear of Fiji, the Solomons, and Black Papua. The typhoon blows the masts out of you. And if you're lucky enough to get through the sharks and crocodiles, you end up in a cannibal stupor.
Yeah. Say, did you notice the tall, dark man in the pit helmet just coming in?
The Bougainville's chock full of tall, dark men in helmets. Where?
There.
He's coming this way. See? Oh, sure. That's Captain Trobriand. The digger himself is not half so mysterious.
Captain Trobriand, huh? Hey, he looks adventure. I'll bet he's seen some strange things.
But Trobriand's got more scars on his hide than a moccasin has tattoo marks. I know, for I'm after sailing with his highness.
And who's the hook-nosed man with him?
Oh, that's Levi, the pearl buyer, sir. Trobriand's the only trader that Shylock can't build.
So Captain Trobriand's a pearl trader, huh?
Pearl trading's only one of his lines. He's rich as Monte Cristo. Nobody knows his real business. Some says it's blackbird and gunrunning, gold prospecting in New Guinea, and others.
Yes? Well, go on.
I see. It's all them things and more of it.
Look, they're getting up at the next table. Corbin's going to sit there.
I say, what luck.
Here we are. Well, Captain Trobriand, what you're about to show me in pearls this time, eh?
The finest lot of round, pure white, perfectly matched pearls from Torres Strait you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's good. Beautiful. But come, you say you've got a surprise for me.
Here's a very black pearl. A motor one. 60 grain. Very rare.
But don't I tell you, Captain, that I can't sell these black pearls for what the best ripens will bring?
Hold your breath, Levi. Could you sell the Eye of God?
Eye of God? What do you say? Are you joking? Is that to touch the Eye of God?
I asked if you can sell it for a large price. If I put it in your hand.
Well, there is a Rajah. He would pay 20,000 pounds for it. If I dare to. What's your plan? Don't step in. 100 native spears guard the Eye of God.
I did a week ago. But at this minute, it's safe in my cabin aboard the Typhoon.
What is it, officer? What's happened?
Look, we're here. Through the window. A schooner of fire in the lagoon. I can make it out now. It's obvious schooner of the Typhoon.
Glad you're aboard, Mr. Campbell. Feel my responsibility, you know. The burning schooner only beats us.
Well, what's the trouble now, Hanson? You've still got the shakes. We've got the Stormy Petrel clear of the fire. The danger's all over.
I don't like the looks of it. I mean the feel of things. There's something uncanny in the very air. The water. Whispers. Paddles.
Well, you've been listening to that yarn about Captain Trobriand and the Typhoon. He's broken some taboo, and in revenge, they burned his boat.
Not that alone, sir. But ever since the fire died down, I've heard paddles under the scoop. I'd swear I saw an outrigger canoe right under our bow.
Ah, nonsense. They're local natives. The lagoon's full of native outriggers.
Yeah. Listen. Don't you hear them now, sir? On the port side.
Hear what?
Paddles. Hey, by Jove, you're right. Yes. I can make out a dinghy. It's headed straight for us. Here's my revolver, sir.
I say there. You might have liked it with a line. I might come aboard.
Who is it? What do you want?
Captain Trobriand of the Typhoon.
Oh, all right, Captain. Come about the stern.
Our stage is on the starboard.
You better look sharp, sir. I have the pleasure of speaking to Mr. Campbell, I presume. And I have the honor of making the acquaintance of the mysterious Captain Trobriand. I'll enjoy a word with you in your cabin, Mr. Campbell, if you don't mind. And I might suggest you won't need the revolver.
It's beastly hot in here, isn't it? I'll just throw open the port.
Yeah. I'll come straight to the point, Mr. Campbell. My boat, as you are aware, has just burned to the water's edge. Now, your schooner suits me perfectly. I'm here to purchase her. What makes you think I want to sell?
Because I'll pay you double what she's worth.
Well, really, Captain Trobriand, you've got me wrong. Well, money's no consideration. I'm preparing to sail for the Bermudas.
You can pick up another boat and have a profit in your pocket. Come. You can set your own sail price.
No, I'm not selling that flat. But I might possibly think of chartering the Stormy Petrel to you.
I'd rather purchase. But if you insist, draw the charter papers and fill in the terms to suit yourself.
I don't care to make any money on the charter, but I do set two conditions.
Well, I'm agreeable to anything that doesn't interfere with my plan. What are your conditions?
First, that you frankly tell me in what business the Stormy Petrel is to be used. Secondly, that I be permitted to remain aboard, either as an officer or a passenger.
Both conditions are impossible.
Very well, Captain Trobriand. There's no need for further discussion.
And if you don't mind, I'm turning in early. Good night, Captain.
As you wish.
Good night.
Now, just a moment, Mr. Campbell. I like your stubbornness. An admirable quality. I'll meet conditions with conditions of my own.
I'm not at all sure I'll be interested, but name them.
You'll sign a paper absolving me from all responsibility for your debt.
I guess that's okay.
You give me your word as a gentleman, you won't tell a living soul of what use I've made of your boat, and you do nothing to interfere with my business.
Okay again.
Now let's have it. What are you going to do with my boat?
Briefly, some Kanakas burned my ship to steal a valuable pearl.
I mean to overhaul them, and maybe at the cost of a fight, have that pearl back.
You mean the Eye of God?
I'll overlook your eavesdropping, Mr. Campbell. But if you value your life, never use those words again.
All right. That makes three conditions on your side. I'm going to balance it with another one of my own. I'm willing to ship my crew back to San Francisco. But I've just signed a new first mate. I like his type. I'll be obliged to insist you keep him on.
I have the best melee crew in the island. My melee quartermaster is acting as first officer. I'll have to see your man first.
You want to know him. He says he sailed under you.
Patrick O'Regan. A good sailor. His only trouble is he fights when he could use his head. But he'll do.
And now may I ask why my life would be in such danger?
The native who gave that pearl to the Reverend Cameron, a missionary, is flying for his life. The missionary gave it to me and is doomed to sudden death. His daughter also is marked for death. If I fail to recover the pearl before the sacrifice takes place on the Forgotten Island. The natives burned my schooner when they stole that pearl, and they'll use all the cunning and cruelty they're capable of to keep it. Every man who sails with me on this cruise is under the taboo of death.
Listen. Did you hear that? Someone's trying to open the skylight. Look. Face at the portal.
Keep away from that port.
Don't move this, fool. Look out.
What's the idea of smashing that lamp? Now that I have the port closed, you can strike a light.
There you are.
Now, why the broken lamp? Notice that small barbed arrow planted neatly in my helmet just above my eyes?
You mean it was shot through the port just as you smashed the lamp?
I wasn't quite quick enough. Nearly a bullseye. There's enough poison on that small point to finish us both.
Oh, I say, it's getting exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, do you think you'd care to join me on this cruise?
Do I? Well, I wouldn't miss it for the world.
The program is produced by the Radio Arts Guild of America, located in Los Angeles and New York. The part of Captain Trobriand is played by Gene Whitman, who is also the director. The author is Bernard McConville, who has spent years in collecting authentic material for this story. We'll ask Mr. Whitman to state why he is so enthusiastic about Trobriand the Adventurer. Mr. Whitman. The far-flung South Sea Coral Isles make up a realm of incantation, mystery, and perils. Where lurk the menacing cannibal, the sneaking headhunter, and the devil-worshipping sorcerer. These elements, coupled with the forceful and unusual personalities of the principal characters, particularly the two leading roles, make it one of the most interesting vehicles it has been my good fortune to find. I think it has splendid entertainment as well as educational value. Thank you. Trobriand the Adventurer, we followed Captain Trobriand in his rescue of Rose Cameron from the natives of Mongareva when they were about to sacrifice her to the Black Pearl, worshipped by the islanders as the Eye of God. After her narrow escape, and owing to the death of her missionary father, Miss Cameron is being taken to Sydney aboard the schooner Stormy Petrel. But en route, Captain Trobriand receives a wireless to put in at the Solomon Islands. There he is given a commission by the British resident agent, which sends him and the little schooner on a dangerous mission to an island inhabited by a headhunting tribe.
Bottom 10 fathom! Let go of the hook!
That'll be just half a mile from shore. Maybe not.
The whole beach is alive with black men brandishing spears. Say, am I seeing things or do I make out a white man among them?
Pass me a binoculars. White man? Holy prophecy! That's a white woman.
Steady, fellas. Wait for the next breaker.
And now, Mr. Campbell, a last word of warning to you about what's ahead of us. We're thrusting ourselves unarmed among a couple of hundred bloodthirsty savages, touchy as dynamite. Don't make a violent move. Leave everything to me.
I'm properly scared, but okay if you say so.
Wonder who on earth that white woman can be that hangs up with these wild men of Borneo.
Hey, you're the kind that's always wondered about the women. Look out! Here comes a long roller! Washy, fellas, washy!
Look, a dozen naked wild men waiting for us. It's a nice little reception committee, meeting us with spears and clubs.
Oh, why did I ever leave Frisco?
You, fellas, Chibola, don't forget your part. Come along behind and I'll leave that yard.
Not one, I pay for good.
Stop here, young fool. Don't jump out of the boat yet, or you'll get a steer through you. Now, all raise your hands above your head.
Say, you sure know your high signs. They're throwing down their spears.
So far, so good. Now, march, and watch me.
Gosh, I don't wonder we couldn't see the trail from the boat. Just like a tunnel. It's a creepy place.
Notice where the trail branches off ever so often? Those bypaths lead to the pitfalls, chock full of spears. Without that yarn Chipple is unreeling, we could never get back to the shore alive. Now, here we are. We're getting a grand welcome. Look sharp. Remember, we're Tuam, the strong white men. Ha! They can smell fear.
It's enough to give you the jitters. Stalls stick picking up on poles before every hut. 200 hideous wild men ready to eat us. And you expect to slip a pair of crocheted handcuffs on their chief?
Now for action. Here's the big chief himself, over there, climbing down the ladder of the big farmhouse.
And there's a white woman. In the door. She's climbing down after him. Gosh, what a beautiful woman.
No time for flirtation. Forget her and give us the land to the chief. I'll make the palaver.
Stop wrong here.
Me, Trobria. Capitan. Roger Love. Come along, Five Up, the long government resident commissioner.
Roger Love. We hear too much Roger Love, strong white chief. Too much rich trader. Why for stop wrong here?
Madam, you're white. You're one of us. I don't know how on earth you come to be here among these blacks, but I assume you have some power over them. I'll explain my visit to you. Whom have I the honor of addressing?
To them, I'm Felonai McGregor. I have the standing of a chief and an ally of the Goa tribe. If your business concerns them, it concerns me.
Your father has a coconut plantation on the Upper Bird River, hasn't he?
I have the plantation. Donald McGregor is dead, killed by bushmen. I would be too if it hadn't been for these brave Goas. What can we do for you, Captain Sobrian?
Miss McGregor, I regret to say my business is of a very serious nature. You're no doubt familiar with the brutal murders committed by members of the Goa tribe on the persons of two white men by the names of LaRue and Wilson.
I say, Trobriand, what am I to do about it? The natives tickling my backbone with a spear.
You have nothing to fear, as yet. The names of these two white men stir up bitter feelings among them. You see, there's a Goa version of the case.
You are aware, of course, that both Paul LaRue and Wilson were beheaded.
You're a man of experience among the islanders, Captain Sobrian, and you must know that tribal ceremonials need have no bearing upon the justice involved in the death of these men.
Do you justify their deaths?
You have my word of honor for it. They fully deserved to die. I was an eyewitness, and no, I'm quite willing to make such a signed report to the commission.
Miss McGregor, I'm sorry, but I'm compelled to arrest the chief. I can promise him a fair trial at the resident court.
Unless you are prepared to take him by force, the only way out for you is to do the wise thing and hold your court of trial here in the village.
His Excellency is not accustomed to coming to his native subjects. They must come to him or be carried there in shame.
Our white man come long fight with fireball, our gods. Our white man catch up grandly how.
The chief will speak to me alone. Then I'll give you his ultimatum.
Forget, Robin. You better take the lady's word for it.
Yeah.
A woman like that has never lied.
Women have been known to lie before. Here comes the old no girl and his lady ally with some kind of a showdown.
I speak for the chief. We've decided you can't take him away from his home and people. He's old and much reverent. You know as well as I why. Because it is taboo. If you care to avoid bloodshed, you had better go away peacefully and report this to the commissioner.
You realize, Miss McGregor, you are placing yourself in a very dangerous position by obstructing the orderly course of Crown law.
Fully.
I say, Corbyn, haven't you been
still? A final warning. I mean to arrest the chief of the Goas and bring him to trial. If you interfere in any manner, Miss McGregor, it'll be my unpleasant duty to arrest you also. I'll give it till tomorrow night, sundown, to deliver the culprit.
Captain Corbyn, please remember that I have given my word of honor to fight for the Goas as they have fought for me. And the McGregor never goes back on his word.
Midnight. Well, I'm ready
ready for the cannibal stew pots. Let's go.
If I had all the constables in the Solomons and New Guinea at my back, I wouldn't attack that village tonight.
What's the matter? There might be Rajah Lout getting cold feet.
With a machine gun and Haji Wasuba, I could wipe out the whole tribe. Now, listen to that. What's got me deep with the way she said that? A McGregor never goes back on his word. She might and get hurt.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Joe, what a woman.
But what about old Chief Porpoise?
I'm going to chloroform him.
Don't forget your crocheted handcuffs. You may need them.
There's a steamer coming our way, sir.
Get down. Don't move or breathe.
Close call.
Can you make out how many guards inside?
Three. Two asleep in the fire. One lively fellow just passed us.
Campfire's burning low. Yeah, he'll nap before long.
Great guns. There's our white woman. See, over there, coming out of the door of that hut.
Ah, she's got a gun on her hip. And McGregor never goes back on his word, eh?
She's getting a drink out of that gourd under the tree. Taking her helmet off. Letting down her hair. Oh, hadn't we better cough or something? What a magnificent woman. I never dreamed such a creature could exist outside of storybooks.
Yeah, go right over and tell her how lovely she is. And in the morning, the chief will be picking the meat off your skull.
Yeah, you should have listened to her, and we wouldn't be risking our skulls.
The lady's going back into the shanty, sir.
Ah, another bit of luck. And the guard's sitting down with his back to a tree.
You've been wanting me to act like a member of Trobriand and Company. I'll take the job of chloroforming this bird.
The guard's dozing now. Here's chloroform enough to put an army to sleep. Good luck.
I'll need it. Pull for a rabbit's foot.
Now, Reagan, there mustn't be a hitch or we're all dead men. When the guard's under, we make straight for the chief's house. I'll crawl in and take care of His Majesty and pass him down to you and Campbell. You know what to do if he wakes up.
Aye, sir.
I'll pick up the main trail by the yarn strung along the edge. Stay close to me. Now, he's signaling okay. Ready? Let's go.
I hope the chief goes under easy.
All right, below. Handling lightly.
He's waking up. I'll shock him. An uppercut lasts longer than chloroform.
Yeah. Follow me. Watch your step. Mr. O'Hagan, I'm depending on you to see we aren't boarded by those black devils from canoes during the night.
Aye, aye, sir.
All hands on deck. Off watch, sleep on the gun. We sail at daybreak.
I suppose the minute they discover the chief's missing, there'll be a terrible hullabaloo.
Bring 50 war canoes down on us in the jiffy. I wouldn't dare risk taking the schooner through the reef in the pitch dark. It's bad enough when the moon rises.
What? Canoe coming on our schooner. I hear paddle.
Quiet. I don't, you're right. O'Regan, rouse all hands. See them all at the post. Guns are ready. Masuba,
you, my old fighter.
You know what to do if Gore fellas quarter?
No quarter.
Yeah, quarter.
What's wrong? Ready. Tie with Roger Ruka.
Am I on?
Yep.
Good. Now, O'Regan, just sweep the bay with your searchlight.
Canoe. See, there's the white woman waving.
Fella Mary McGregor as I live. Huh. Wants to palaver. No firing on that canoe. Hail, O'Regan.
Order in the canoe. What do you want? The mother speaking. Come
on. All right, throw her on, O'Regan. What's super? Drop the side ladder. Stand by to give her a hand.
Keep on, Mary McGregor. Come aboard.
Fine. Thanks.
An unexpected pleasure, Miss McGregor.
From what I have heard of you, Rajah Lout, you always fight fair and in the open. This time you've descended to a miserable trick.
Take it calm, McGregor. You'll have to admit I've avoided bloodshed.
And that remains to be seen. I demand the release of Chief Marajumba.
And what do you mean to do if I don't release him?
Fight for him. I can count 200 warriors in canoes. You can't get through the reef tonight.
I'll say you're nervy. But let's talk reason. You're white. Stand by and let the government take its course. If the chief's innocent of the charge, the court will exonerate.
Stupidity of that court is notorious throughout the Solomon. Puts the government on bullies. Left my father defenseless to be killed by the bushmen, while the Goers came to our rescue. I'm taking that chief back to his village. Tell the commissioner if he wants to give him a trial, it must be among his own people.
So that's your game, eh? You come here to hold me in palaver while the Goers get trying to man their war.
To persuade you to
release him before the whole tribe was roused. The main line with canoes coming at us from two quarters. All hands stand by to get underway. Send out the ship, captains and driver. Follow me on the hook. Masuba! Give us some firewood. A burst of star shells over the rise, and then a few solid ones over the
she's going to jump overboard.
Yeah. I've got you, McGregor. No use struggling. I don't want to hurt you.
I hated you.
You
see that I'm breaking my word to them? You can't hold me
aboard.
I'm going
up. That's too late now. You've turned all hell loose. What the hell? First, seize your motor.
Right here, I see.